Genesis chapter 34. As we look in this chapter, we want to do a quick overview of what's going on here. In verse number 1, Jacob has been a trickster. He's been full of himself. He's done a lot of things just to make himself look good and please himself, and it's cost him down the road. And here it's going to cost him greatly. The Bible tells us in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 34, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife." You already see they got this backwards. You don't do what they did, then get married. You get married, then you have your relations. Nobody's preaching on this. That's why it just keeps happening over and over and over and over. I had an old friend of mine tell me one time, and I've never forgot what he said. He said that when you start dating as a young person, you give a little piece of your heart away every time you date somebody. He said, "For long, when you get married, half of you's already gone." I think that's good advice. I think we need to listen to that. I think we need to raise our children with that in mind. Well, preacher, no, don't well preacher me. Just listen. Just listen to what the Bible's got to say. They did this backwards, and watch this. Can they get right? Sure they can. It's always possible to come to the Lord and get things right. But you're dealing with heathens over here that didn't want to get this right. And plus, you got Jacob, who's been sowing to bad things all his life. And verse 5 says, "Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take your daughters unto you." Do you remember why Jacob's parents sent him back to where he went to? Because they didn't want him marrying these people right here. They didn't want them to fool with him. It says in verse 10, "Ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade you therein, and get you possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what you shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, said, Because he had defiled Dinah their sister." Now, the sons of Jacob are going to get involved in this. "And they said to him, We cannot do this thing. Give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you. We will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you. We will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein, for the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised, as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son, hearken all that went out from the city of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out in the gate of his city. Now watch this. They did exactly what these guys asked for. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And it says they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said unto Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, and they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as an harlot? Don't you notice it said, ye have troubled me. Ye have troubled me. Again, Jacob thinking only about himself. He's been sowing to that. He's been doing deceitful things. He's trained two boys to be as deceitful as him without ever holding the first class. And I noticed that as we look at this today, I want to preach to you on arriving on the road you travel. When I set out on a straight road, there was a road to this church I used to preach at. When the pastor was there, when I turned on that road, I knew there was 100 miles from the time I turned until I got to where I was going. I could just watch the thing just flip the thing down. I'd usually hit that little travel thing and watch it. I knew when it got to 100, I'd turn left. There's the church. But you know what? The craziest thing is, I never expected to arrive anywhere else when I got on that road. Once you get on that road, you know that's where you're going. But you know, if I'd have got on that road, and this was down in Georgia. If I'd have got on that road, lower state part of Georgia, if I'd have got on that road and said, well, I hope in 100 miles I wind up in Atlanta, I'd have been very shocked at the end of that road. I'd have wound up in Florida. Okay? If I'd have said, you know what, I hope I wind up in Gaffney when I get to the end of this road, I'd have been in a real big surprise at the end of that road. There wasn't no Gaffney down at the end of that road. But the problem people have is they get on a road and they expect to arrive somewhere different than where they were traveling. You wouldn't do that on a vacation, would you? You wouldn't do that on the way to your job, would you? But yet we take our shipwrecked lives and we don't head towards Jesus and we head towards another way and we expect the blessings of Jesus to follow that mess we just made. And he's not following you. He is pursuing you. That is different. Pursuing with the intent of overtaking you. That's how that works out. But I want to preach to you today on arriving on the road you travel on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us today, Lord God, to see the truth of Scripture, that we might get some help today from the Word of God. Lord, help us to our understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, being some in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this thing, it's easy enough to point the finger at people's failures, and two areas that Jacob failed in are two areas which many of us have failed in our lives. Number one, he failed as a pilgrim, obviously. He was supposed to be going a certain direction. He never went that direction. He kept monkeying around and trying to do things he shouldn't have. He also failed as a parent because of all the deceit he'd done in front of his children. Like I said, he never held the first class, and he got 2 graduates right there before him. And his failures in those two areas now have cost him dearly. There's a lot of men dead because of that. A lot of men dead. The Bible, unlike us, doesn't hesitate to hold up a mirror to us and say, this is what you really look like. We can walk through our homes. We can smell good after we get out of the shower and think that we've got an aroma about us. It's just so good. Then we look in the mirror and we see what we really look like and say, oh, number 34 is out of place, you know, or something like that. But the problem is, you've got a guy whose name is now Israel, who's the Prince of God. That's what his name means. And he's acting like a devil. Then we get over here, and his kids wind up bad. And he's like, you, This is all about me. You realize he still ain't figured this out yet? If you read on into the next chapter, if you read on after the service and read on the next chapter, he's going to tell them, put away the strange gods from among you. They're all idolaters. You know where they learned that at? From Rachel, his wife. Remember, she stole her daddy's gods and he come looking for them. And she said, I can't stand up because I have the time of women's among me. And she is sitting on those two idols. They wouldn't have time when she's lying to them. See, kids pick up on what you are. The whole, don't you do as I do, you do as I say do. It does not work. They're going to be what you are. And I noticed that with his children involved in it, he involved them first, but because we see rebellion in a child, and the one thing that's never brought up in this chapter by him or those two brothers, they keep saying he defiled our sister, but they never hold her accountable. See, that's a crazy thing about this. She's never held accountable. I've seen this happen a lot, and, you know, she didn't realize, Dinah, that when all the evil of the visit she made in those quiet hours and she got alone with this guy, how that was going to wind up. I tell parents, and I tell you this day without apology, before you get married, you shouldn't be spending time alone with somebody else. You will wind up in a mess. And the younger you are, listen, the more stupid you are, and the more stupid you are, the more likely you are going to wind up in a huge mess. And I try to caution young people about this, but I want to caution you parents. You're the ones that can actually say no to it.
That's right.
I don't care who's doing it. I don't care who allows it. I don't care what public school says. I don't care what Christian school says. I don't care about this book length business. I don't care. You don't need to be alone with them. Because that's when problems begin to start that then little young bodies can't handle. You say, I don't like preaching like this. Neither does the devil get in line behind him. Because he's the one trying to trick you to get into all this. It's going to wind you up in a mess and then laugh at you while you're down. We see the revenge that was brought on by these two boys, Simeon and Levi. Jacob talking about, you have made me to stay. You know, in his dying bed, he brought this back up to them. When he was laying there dying in the latter part of the book of Genesis, he brings this very thing back up to them again. But the real mistake of it all, and what we see with him was that Jacob bought the land and settled way too near the city. If he had stayed where God told him to stay, this would have never happened. Back in Genesis 33, verse 17 and 18, he bought this parcel of land too close to that thing. Do you know that if you move on choice and you move near something that's bad, bad things will probably happen? Let me just point some things out to you. If you live near something that's sinful, you probably will be visiting that place before long. You say, not me. That's what Lot said. He just looked out and saw a plain. It was well watered and everything. Next thing you know, he's the mayor of Sodom. How'd he get there? One inch at a time. The devil's not interested in getting you out of whack today and getting you out of church today. He just wants to get you closer to the door. Even if it's just that far. One little move. Oh, I got this happen. Before long, you sit out there in the beer joint again, you don't know what happened to you. I wish I could go to church. I wish I could do this. You tell all your friends there's a bunch of hypocrites in there, but you know who the real hypocrite is. You was the one did all that. I noticed that people want to come up and say all this stuff, but it all has to do with compromise. Jacob compromised to do this, and he compromised to do this, and compromised to do this, and compromised to do this. For long, listen, he had whittled himself away so much that, listen, there wasn't none of him left. He has no choice in the next chapter but get right with God and start getting rid of the idols, because he realized he compromised and let that happen. You know why he didn't say nothing, Rachel, about them gods? You know why he didn't say nothing? What could he say? He let her do it. And when you get to looking at this thing, we see the sad results of compromise here, and there are four of them. Number one, we lose our faith. When we start compromising just a little bit at a time, eventually we will lose our faith. Instead of believing God, we'll work things out according to our own understanding. We'll say, well, God gives us common sense and expects us to do things on our own. I got news for you. There ain't nobody in this building got common sense. That's even you smart ones that you think you smart. You ain't smart as you think. Can tell you how I know that. He just said that verse up here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what we worried about? Things. You know what our understanding is? We need to go back to that verse and say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek things. All we got to do is seek first the kingdom of God. He'll add everything to you that you need when you need it. He's never been a debtor to any man, nor will he start today.
Amen.
All we need to do is remember this. There's not a tick on the side of a dog that God don't know about the tick and the dog. And he's feeding both of them at the same time through the same dog food bowl. How about that? You didn't think anything showed up by accident, do you? Listen, hey, God is taking care of things, and he's got everything under control. And I noticed that instead of obeying God, we'll compromise, and we want to be liked. We want to be liked. Well, we want people to hate us. I mean, after all, if they don't like us, then they won't be nice to us. Let me tell you something. You will not live on this planet very long. This Bible says your life is but a vapor. It is important to be nice to people. I do solemnly affirm that, but I'll tell you this. If you're compromising to be liked, you're not wanting to be nice to people. You're wanting to get over on people, and that makes you as big a scumbag as any politician you complain about in Washington, D.C. today. People go out and say stuff like, well, I would have said something while I was down there, but now I know what it is. You don't want to cut that blessing off that's coming from over there. Well, what you perceive as a blessing, that might be of the devil anyway. You ought to be careful about that stuff. Listen, we lose our faith. Number two result is we lose our family. You say, well, they didn't leave. No, but he'd already lost them for this. He done lost them. Watching child after child turn bad in his life is something he got to see because he was bad himself, and he is bad the whole time. And watching those we pray for walk contrary to the Lord, we got to look back and say, did we sow to that principle this whole time? Don't feel bad when the crops come in. They come in on all of us. There are things that I have watched in my lifetime out of my own children that I said, you know what? I remember sowing to that very thing. And you will reap of it. Do not fool yourself. If you've got a Scofield Bible, if you look back at the beginning of chapter 34, there's an important little thing right there. It says right before, between chapter 34 and the first verse, it says, Jacob reaps the harvest of the evil years, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. I mean, listen to this. You want to talk about a cross-reference to a verse here. Listen to this. Here's the cross-reference right here. This is Galatians 6, 7, 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth through his flesh, shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's no way around that thing. That's unalterable. You keep sowing to them principles, and you keep compromising, for long, you get them to watch them walk out the door doing the exact same thing you did. Because you know what they're doing? What you were doing. I know we try to raise our kids better than we have, and some of us have gotten saved since then days, but that does not make us immune from that. Things will happen. It will happen because you sowed to it. And you better believe this. If this Bible says it happens, you can mark your calendar down the day you saw it. It's going to happen. I'm like the guy that's got bad news and good news. I'm giving you all the bad news now. I'm just warning you. There's good news down the road, but we got to get the bad news in first. We lose our faith. We lose our family. Another result of compromise, we lose our freedom. Our personal life begins to be based on bondage to the world. Do you know that over the years I have watched people sign their life away to the world and I don't know. I'm one of them guys, I try to get along with the police as best I can. If they pull me over, I don't say, I have no idea what I've done, because I know they deal with liars every day. If I don't know, I will ask. I'll say, I was doing the speed limit. Is that what you pulled me over? He'll say, no, it's a taillight. Me and Jordan went to go to the bank on a Sunday night one night, and we was pulling out of First Piedmont Federal to T-Bridge, turn there. I had the left turn signal on, light turned green, and the cop sitting right there at the thing coming toward me did not move. And I thought, this is weird. I kept waiting on him to come so I could turn. Finally, he flashes his lights at me. I thought, he must be telling me it's a cop down the road, don't go that way, so I turned left anyway. As soon as I turned left, boom, there was the blue lights. He said, do you know why I pulled you over, sir, if you had anything to drink tonight? I said, no and no. I said, what in the name of God did you pull me over? Seriously, I have no idea. He said, your headlights ain't on. He says, your headlights off. And I looked down. I'd cut them off, and I pulled up at the bank because I cut the car off. And I reached down and pulled them. I said, are they working? He said, well, I ain't going to get out and look. I said, well, you the one found them turned off. You need to get out and tell them if they on. And he laughed. He walked up there and said, yeah, you okay. Go on. I said, by the way, you never asked me for my license, my insurance. You never got me out of the car and roughed me up. You never beat me with a hose pipe. I said, what kind of cop are you, you know? I mean, after everything was cool, it was fine. But to start off with, I kept thinking, why is he wanting to pull? I have done literally nothing. But you know what he saw? A possible drunk guy driving a vehicle that forgot to turn his headlights on. I'd have pulled me over, too, now that I knew that. But see, that's this problem. You drive around the city, you can't tell with all them stupid lights on. You got to where I live now, you better turn some lights on or you're going to run into a cow or something. Ain't that the truth? Lisa asked me another day, I said, don't it look a little bit dark around here? I said, you just used to the city. I said, this always look like us out here. Listen, we'll lose our freedom because our personal life begins to be based on bondage to the world. Our personal choices becomes our authority. Well, I've always said, no matter what you say, what does God say? Amen. And we get hung up in all that and we tell ourselves we're fine and we're not fine. One of the craziest things is we tell ourselves all these stories and we never get the point. We'll lose based on our personal life being based on bondage to the world. Our personal choices becomes our authority. And the next thing you know, we put God completely out of our life. And then Dinah runs off with a heathen. And we say, oh, well, you can only raise them so long and this, that. And I know how it is. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. She's only doing what her mama did. She's only doing what granddaddy did. Remember old trickster Jacob showed up wanting a daughter to marry? And he said, yeah, you serve me 7 years, I'll give her to you. And he woke up and there's old ugly in bed beside him. Remember that? By the way, when you read through the Bible and you read through Genesis, God blessed one over the other. And guess which one it was? You ought to thank God for them pimples and them ugly looks, because it might be God's blessing you, my friend. You might get the end of your life and have the blessings of God all over you while old Miss Pretty over there starting to prune up on somebody and can't get along with nobody and everything else. How about that? You ever heard these people say, God don't bless ugly? I believe he does. Just not like you think. I had a fella tell me one time, he said, my daughter's in despair. She's in distress. I said, why? He said, because she thinks she's ugly. She can't get a boyfriend. She watched every friend of hers get pregnant while she was out of wedlock except her. Later, when she was 20-something years old, she finally married, had a lovely family. Oh, you just don't know what God may be blessing you with. We'll go down there to that ocean lakes and I look in them old ponds. There's them old ugly ducklings. You ever seen them? I mean ugly as, boy, they could stop a golf cart and turn the battery down. And I think to myself, I come back next year and I go to that same pond. I'm having to run them ducks off around and fish. And I look over there and there's that old beautiful thing sitting there all white and pretty with them that bright orange bill. And I think, is that ugly thing I saw the year before and come back to show me, hey, look what God did in my life? You just never know, do you? There's your bad news. Now here's the good news. Okay. Now that you know, you may can get back some things you willingly gave away, but it's going to have to start with one thing. Repentance. Right, amen. Repentance don't mean I'm walking this way and now I'm walking this way. Repentance is a change of heart. Change of heart that leads to a change of mind, that leads to a change of will. And by saying that, I'm going to quote to you the greatest authority on repentance ever. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He wasn't talking to the Pharisees. He wasn't talking to the liberal Sadducees. He wasn't talking to the Pharisees that were lawyers. He wasn't talking to the Herodians. He was talking to 12 guys that spent day and night with him for 3.5 years, except ye repent. Nobody's standing there realizing that just within a couple of years, Peter's going to cuss and deny Jesus, but Jesus knew it. except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Nobody realized that standing there was Thomas, who in just 6 short months was going to say, well, if Lazarus is dead, let's just go there that we may die with him also and smart off like that. But Jesus knew it. And we get to defining repentance from the Bible. It sure is different how these dictionaries define it. But there first must be biblical repentance on your behalf.
Amen.
Can I tell you the biblical repentance don't start with the word if? I'm sorry, ma'am, if I've offended you. I'm sorry, sir, if I've offended you. If. That's no kind of an apology. That's no kind of repentance. That's no kind of getting right with people. If. Lord, when I did that, I did it. It wasn't my friends. It wasn't my influences, though they may have played a part. I made the choice to do that thing. Lord, I did that. I did. Except you repent, shall likewise perish. What I need to do, I need to get it right. How are you going to do that? Number one, you got to admit you're wrong. If you don't admit you're wrong, you'll never get right. I was raised watching a parent do this for 50 years. We used to kid me and my wife that my mama had the Sandra and Belle apology. You know what that means? That means I just made Trey mad, and rather than going to him and saying, I'm sorry I made you mad, I'd get Jason to go in and show up. That one, in case he got out of line, Jason would beat him up. And I'd sit there and say, well, how's everything going? Just act like nothing's happening. Never apologize and try to rekindle fellowship with them scars still there. That never works. Because you know who walks out with the scab? You do. Men, listen. You've heard about the Great Wars, haven't you? World War I, World War II, the Spanish-American War, the Civil War, the American Revolution War. None was so greater as my wife and my mama. This is getting a little bit personal, but I'm going to help you today. Okay? When they got into it, it was bad. I never heard cussing, but I heard threats of murder from both sides. It's always something. But when my mama finally said, I'm sorry, I did it. I sat there listening. I thought, what did she just say? I'm sorry, I did it. What? The last 2 years was the best 2 years I ever had with her. She was a whole different person. And you can be like that too if you'll start admitting to God what you've done and not keep blaming it on everybody else or avoiding it altogether, not talking about it. There may be some fellowships you need to restore that's going to take more than saying, well, if I did you wrong. People see through that already. The only one you got convinced that you're doing right is you. Everybody else knows. Listen to this. Hosea chapter 14, the Bible tells us, listen to this. I'm just going to read this to you. In Hosea 14, O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Not the nation next to you, yours. And here's how God says come to him. Listen to this. Take with you words. Whose words? His words. Change your vocabulary. Talk in biblical language to God and admit that I have not done this or I did do this or whatever the problem is. And saying that it says, and turn to the Lord. So you got to take with you words and turn to the Lord. How about that? Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy.
Yeah.
My soul, listen to what I just read you. They admitted the things they made with these hands are not really good gods at all. But I see when I look at these things, I see that there must be biblical repentance where you turn to him. And just in case the devil's involved in this and so much that you can't get it out then, there must be biblical fasting to go along with this. I may have told this. I don't know if I did or not. Turn over to Isaiah 58, and I'm going to close with this and show you this. If I've told this, I don't remember it, so it'd be like me telling it the first time. You pretend like you've never heard it before, okay? We're in agreement on that? Good. Okay. When we were going through an ordeal last year this time, I had a loan officer call me and say, I do not understand what's going on with your loan. Your credit's 830 and I can't get you financed. 830. I'd have been turned down by one company. Working on the second one, been turned down 7 or 8 times. They're still working with me, right? That lady said to me something on the phone. She said this, I don't know if it's God or the devil preventing you to do this. She said, I am at a loss. When she said that, boy, I had victory right then because I knew something. And I'm going to tell you this something. Now you have victory. And the Holy Ghost just jumped a wheel in your heart and said, he's fixing to help you. You better listen. I said, ma'am, I may not can get rid of the devil, but I know how to bind him up where he can't get me right now. And I can get him out of this equation. I said, if it's God, we'll never get it done. I said, but if it's the devil, I know how to handle it. She said, pray tell how you. I said, I can't tell you till it's done. She said, fair enough. Now let me show you what I did. This works. This ain't something I read in the book. I read in this book, but this works. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast I have chosen? Question. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Is that not what God does? You don't fast so people will treat you better. There's why you fast, to loose the bands of wickedness. I don't know if it's God or the devil why it ain't getting done. I knew right then we could get rid of one of them. To undo the heavy burdens. So what was the heavy burden? Living in a fellowship building with 1/3 of your possessions in there and the other 2/3 sitting in a pod. Uh-huh. And it says to let the oppressed go free. You know who put them people in oppression? I did. That's what I thought. Then I realized something. Here's the answer right here. And that you break every yoke. You ever see these guys do these strongman competitions where they take, well, y'all kids won't understand this, but we used to have phone books. Yeah. I got one in the mail the other day. It's this big. It's called the Real Yellow Pages. Did y'all get one?
Yeah.
That would used to be a big day in the house. We get a phone book. There's our name. When we first got married, that's the first thing I looked for. Greg and Lisa, there we was. But I used to go to these things. I see these strong men, they're big old weightlifters, big old arms. And they'd take a New York City phone book this thick. And they'd take that thing like that, and they'd tear that sucker in half. I couldn't even tear the Gaffney phone book in half. It's just Gaffney and Blacksburg. You said, well, they tricked that. Well, it sure was a good trick. Because even if it started, you still got to be able to rip that sucker apart. One day, there's a guy giving that demonstration. He said, some of y'all think this is cheating. So he didn't tear it where the opening was. He flipped that sucker around and tore it from the spine. I thought, holy cow. Break every yoke. Got same guy, they put handcuffs on him. He snapped them like they was a twig. One day, I got locked up. Guy put them cuffs on me. So I thought, I remember that guy doing that. That wasn't him. I struggled from the time we got in the car to the time that guy let me out of our police station and took me in there with my hands on my back. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to break these things. He said, give up. I said, I ain't hurting you. Hey, listen, they wheeled me on in there, and the only way I got out, somebody had the key. God ain't interested in your keys in your pocket. He ain't interested in your tricks to get out of it. He wants to break every yoke. You know what that means? They're not just coming off. They're going to get tore up, too. They ain't going to lock nobody else up. 2 weeks after that fast, woman called us at 7 o'clock in the morning say that loan was approved. Nobody calls you at 7 o'clock. I didn't go to work till 9. She was screaming. Remember how she was screaming? Lisa could hear her across the room, my phone like this. She could hear that woman screaming. It's done. It's done. And then she stopped and said, now tell me how you got this done. Are you listening to me? That you break every yoke. I know who yoked me up. I know who did that. And God didn't want me to fail at the thing. He wanted me to succeed. He didn't want me to look back on the things of the past and say, well, we could have stayed. We could have did this. Could have, should have, would have. He said, go forward. We go forward. And when nobody else believed, I had to believe for myself. Now listen to me. God wants to do that in your life. But it won't be done through this passive Christianity that you play on. It's got to be done through active Christianity, where Christ is the king, where Christ gets to make the calls, and where Christ gets to do a work in your life. It can't be done while you're sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, or while you say, I wish somebody had done that, man, I wish. Wishing's Disney, and it's straight out of hell, okay? You got to keep going forward for the Lord, and you got to keep doing for Him. And this works, my friend. God is willing to go exceedingly and abundantly and above all you can ask or think, but you got to ask. And if you tie it up like this right here, he don't want to just untie you. He wants to break the yoke. He don't want you back in that same bondage again. And here's how he's going to do it. He wants to see if you're serious about it, then he'll get serious about it. Ain't you tired of messing up your life? Well, now let's turn it around. Instead of you messing it up, let him clean it up. Amen. Some of you, bless your heart, listen. I hope it's okay to tell us, Brother Jason. If it's not, you just wave at me like this, okay? Do y'all remember back in Thanksgiving meeting when Nate rung the bell on Jason? Wasn't that awkward? All I can think about is that Jason probably can't believe Nate just rung that bell on him. But when you raise a kid to do right, don't get mad when he does right if you're the one in the wrong.
Amen.
That's kind of joking, but y'all get what I'm saying.
You're right.
Now, I don't know if he does right the rest of the time. Boy, that was a good one. I've told that everywhere but here. But listen, you got to understand, if you raise your kids right and they do right while you're doing wrong, just consent that, you know, God's trying to send you a message and help you out.
Amen. Amen.
It's real easy. Just do right. And listen to this. Some of you, bless your hearts, you probably had the little creeping thought go by like I did when you was reading that thing in Genesis 34. Well, if that had been my sister, I'd have beat him up too and killed him. Can I let you in a little secret? Two wrongs do not make a right. Dinah did wrong and they did wrong. You got a choice today. You going to keep doing wrong? Expect the crops come in. But hey, what if we said today, you know what? I want to see a different outcome. How are we going to do that? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But wait, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You going to see your kids turn out different? You going to see your life turn out different? Let Him clean you up. There's a thing about asking God to forgive you, but you need to let Him clean you up too. He can. He wants to. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,